strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And of course, we know that as a prophecy about the very person of Jesus. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. There are many who think that that psalm by David was written as he was ascending into power and realizing that enemies were all around and that he would be at the very mercy of God. And yet at the same time that all that God had done for him in his life was worthy of praise. Now, I just wonder in your life, if you've ever sat down some morning and just begun to recount the goodness of God, and perhaps just written verse after verse of thanksgiving for what God has done in your life. I think in Western civilization, we tend to take much for granted, and I'll talk a bit about that in just a little bit. Part of my life journey, by the way, had me in Dallas, Texas, where I worked in radio down there for 3 years. And prior to that, I had an opportunity to actually go to a motivational message, a seminar by Zig Ziglar. Some of you may know who that is, and some of you may not, but he was one of the most prolific motivational speakers in our country. He died just about 2 years ago. A very funny guy, and again, inspiration, just kind of over the top, and really one of the friendliest guys you'd ever want to meet, just a superman. And I know this because after arriving in Dallas, I found out that Zig Ziglar taught a Sunday school class at First Baptist Church in Dallas. And you could go and hear this legendary motivational speaker for free. And I like free, as most people do, so I sat in on his class for like 2 years. Because I'm kind of a slow learner when it comes to these things. And there were a lot of valuable lessons that I picked up from Zig. And one of those was, don't fill in for him, which I happened to do one Sunday morning. And you don't quite know what it's like to have 1,000 people show up in a room and go, oh, Zig's not here. Nonetheless, one theme that Zig Ziglar emphasized over and over in life was of being thankful. And he had a phrase for it that became quite well known. He said that people ought to have an attitude of gratitude. Vicki Hedges, who worked in the public relations office for Zig Ziglar for some 70 years, actually talked a little bit about how significant it was in the life of this man. She said, you know, Zig started out pretty poor. In fact, dirt poor. It's the kind of language Zig would use. His father died when he was 6, leaving his mother to raise 11 children. The family was virtually penniless, and yet despite their poverty, Mrs. Ziglar instilled in these kids a very strong work ethic, not only in the kids, but everyone in which they came in contact with as well. She raised them to believe that both she and God deeply loved them. And she also instructed her children to practice saying please and thank you. And those very basic lessons stuck. Her formula of work, love, and faith made their lives easier. Gratitude made their lives enjoyable. She continued, Zig once told me when we neglect to raise our children to say thank you when someone gives us a gift or does something for them, we raise ungrateful children who are highly unlikely to be content. And without gratitude, happiness becomes rare. With gratitude, the odds for happiness go up dramatically. Well, my friends, that truly was how Zig Ziglar thought. And at his corporate headquarters in Dallas, Texas, they have on the wall there 25 to 30 framed pictures of people who have made a profound impact on his life. Some of those people are family members. Some of them would be business people and associates from which he gained a lot of wisdom. Some of them would be educators that had an influence on his life. But think about that. When he reaches his pinnacle of success, he doesn't attribute it to his great personal skill, but instead he recognizes that it's all these people who have advanced him in life. He had an attitude of gratitude. And I believe that mindset of gratefulness and appreciation, this is my perspective, has been steadily declining with American prosperity over these last few decades. Oh, it's easy to see happen, by the way. And thus, the attitude of gratitude, to a large degree, has become a platitude. Well, it would be helpful, I suppose, to say, what is a platitude? Leighton was giving us some instructions from the dictionary up here, so I'll just add on. Platitude is a remark or a statement, especially one with moral content that has been used too often to be interesting or thoughtful. An attitude of gratitude becomes passé in a culture that really doesn't need to be that way. Ziglar said, of all the attitudes we can acquire, surely the attitude of gratitude is the most important and by far the most life-changing. What would cause this really beautiful and important aspect of human character to diminish? Well, I think there actually are several, what I might call gratitude killers, that have gotten to us. And again, in particular, I believe this is true in Western cultures. There are some here who travel internationally. And if you have that wonderful benefit in life and you meet people from other cultures, and especially from cultures where people are suffering, there's a different mindset to what even the most basic things can mean in terms of response to being grateful. What are some of those gratitude killers that impact us? First, I think a sense of entitlement at any level or for any reason. You know what entitlement is? I hear people talk about it in politics all the time. You know, they've got an entitlement mentality. They just believe they deserve these things. Could be government and the way we do things there. Could be kids and our day and age, millennials. Hey, millennials, that's a good person group to pick on, by the way. Because actually there's a fair amount of research saying that they do tend to be entitlement-minded. But yeah, if you got a sense of entitlement, you know, I deserve this. This is a right. Kind of hard to be thankful in the midst of that. Second, a sense of being self-made and thus self-provided. Very difficult to encounter people who really believe that they did it all themselves. I don't know how I did it. I don't know. It just must have been my good fortune. Or, you know, I studied and did all the things that I needed to do in life, and praise me, look where I've become. I'm a self-made person. Kind of hard to believe you should be thankful to anybody else if we approach life with that kind of mindset. Seeing oneself as better than others would also do it. You know, when you get out there in the world and you realize that some of the people maybe who wait on you in other places or wait on me, and they're not quite with it, they don't have their act together, and we don't really want to be thankful for people who don't give us the kind of service necessarily, maybe because they're just not up to it. Here's another gratitude killer, a belief that you or I are simply more deserving than others. Yeah, you know, like maybe at the job where you did something and you went beyond the call of duty. Nice work on your part, you know? And if people don't come up and give you special praise or thankfulness, that could be a tough thing. Having a life with too many blessings given to us. Silver spoon, perhaps. Now, you say, well, you know, I'm not really in that category. I mean, we're not in the Bill Gates world here. You know, Warren Buffett is not a relative of ours. We haven't been born in that kind of an environment. But again, once we contrast the world in which we've grown up with other parts of the world, we truly are blessed. And we tend not to be thankful for those blessings that we have every single day. Here's another gratitude killer. Allowing dark circumstances to blind a person to the silver lining. Some of you have heard stories over the years of how difficult things have happened in a life, but then all of a sudden it turned out for good. There's a lot of stories like that. In fact, I think most of life has circumstances that even though they're difficult, God can redeem in a unique way if we're simply looking for the way that God can redeem it. And when He does, there are certainly times to be thankful for it. I don't know about anybody in this room, but I work in a field where losing your job is not uncommon. It's happened to me, I think, 3 or 4 times. I mean, I've had about 12 jobs, 9 I've left on my own, and 3 I didn't leave on my own. But, you know, in those circumstances as well, one can look out and see God's hand navigating the circumstances if one's looking for that and you have a spirit of gratitude. 7, failure to spend time in counting our blessings. That'll kill some of the gratitude in you. You've heard there's an old song, an old hymn. Some of you won't even know that song. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Nah, I don't know. You've got other things to do besides that. It'll kill the spirit of gratitude in you. Being steadily in the company of the selfish. Steadily in the company of the selfish. People who always just want for themselves. Kind of hard to learn to have a spirit of gratefulness in your own heart. And then the last on the list, but certainly not the least, ignoring God, the great provider and the sustainer of all life. King David understood plainly that that would be a great offense when he realized that his victories, all that he had in life to be thankful for, the great protection that he endured, was because he had a God that was looking after him. And by the way, so do you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord, if there are any present, let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Yes, the Lord is God, and He has made His light to shine upon us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Again, I work in the radio field, and this past week I conducted 2 interviews on the life of the pilgrims. Their original Thanksgiving feast lasted how long? 3 days. Food choices were definitely different than what we had, although they seemed to have plenty. The pilgrims' trial, of course, began when they got on that ship, the Mayflower. It took them 65 days. It was, of course, a very difficult ordeal. 102 men, women, and children crossed the stormy Atlantic in a space, they say, that's about the size of a city bus. And following that, of course, came that cruel New England winter for which they were ill-prepared. They thought they were going to land their ship much farther south and therefore would endure a better climate than they did. And due to that exposure and due to the consequences of where they were at the time, their number dwindled rapidly so that by the onset of spring, some 51 members of those 102 people had died. A staggering 14 of the 18 wives who were in that group had perished in their new home. Widowers and orphans abounded. Now I want you to just think about that for the moment and think about the great peril that these people faced. And you can understand why after a decent harvest, a good harvest, they would not only have a day of Thanksgiving or a meal of Thanksgiving, they would have 3 days of Thanksgiving and all the football to go along with it, I guess. That was really a wonderful thing to understand how these people, with the bleak circumstances that they had, recognized that even the blessings that they had that allowed several to survive and what they encountered in the new world would be worthy of thankfulness. Today is also the first Sunday in the Advent season. You saw that we lit a candle over here. And out of a great thought of Jesus being the light of the world, we have three more Advent Sundays to follow. Of course, this is a time of preparation for our hearts for the arrival of the Savior of the world. If you were here last Sunday, and I'm going to trust that a number of you were, Phil Covert, at the end of his message, asked people to stand who had experienced the rescuing power of Jesus Christ. Many of you did. I think probably most of the people in this room stood. It was quite moving and quite an experience. If indeed you recognized that that is true, let me ask you, what might you do as we come to the end of this year and start thinking about 2015 as a response to your gratefulness for that? When Phil showed the video of that man who apparently unsuspecting did not realize that all the people in the room were people that were alive because he had made an effort to rescue them, he got very emotional. When we realize the great sacrifice that has been done for us and the many blessings that God has put into our lives, what kind of a response can we give? In Psalm 50, verse 23, it says, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." Let me give you just a couple of suggestions. As we come to the end of this year, what you might do, if your spirit of gratitude wells up inside of you and you realize how wonderful God has been to you, first of all, you might consider your own wall of gratitude. It doesn't have to be a big thing with framed pictures. It might just be on the side of a refrigerator. And start thinking about those people to whom your life would not be what it was or is today were it not for them. Just kind of deepens your thoughtfulness there. How about a journal of thanksgiving? I got a friend who actually is doing that on a consistent basis. A journal that just every day tracks a little bit of God's blessing and being thankful for it. And then there's this idea, like they did in the Old Testament days, where a thank offering might be the appropriate thing. You're just so out of gratefulness that, Lord, let me return to you the abundance in part of what you have done for me. How about a time of year or occasion where you say, you know what I'm going to do just out of thankfulness? I'm going to serve others in some capacity. Don't know what it is. We know that regularly we get invitations here that somewhere in the church there's a need. And maybe someone with a grateful heart for all that God has done would say, I want to be one of those people who responds. How about teaching just the very basics of courtesies and goodness to your grandkids and kids in order that they might grow up and be people with thankful hearts? How about frequent recall before God himself of how he has blessed you? Not a complex thing to do. Josh Weidman, young pastor, just really a wonderful guy. He's got a church out in Colorado now. He's a teaching pastor there. I think it's around 2,500 to 3,000. He was so marked by the good things God has done in his life that every morning, get this, every morning he gets up, he has a stack of thank you cards next to him. He writes one every day to somebody just to thank them. Isn't that a great spirit of gratitude? And then let me just close with this one in terms of my ideas here. We're almost done, by the way. Don't get too excited. Thank you gift cards and meals. Now, I'm filling in for Phil today, and he's not here, and he doesn't know that I'm going to say this. But you know, we are coming up to the end of the year, and he is got a wife and four kids. And just think of how funny it would be that right around Christmas time, he got a meal card from all kinds of people in the church. Doesn't have to be a lot of money. Just to say, you have made a difference in my life spiritually. Nothing could be more important in our personal growth. Now, if you choose to do that for Leighton or Ben or Noma or anybody else who's making a difference here, a teacher, it's your business. But what a wonderful thing to do. Small act of kindness. Out of what? Out of gratefulness. You know, in the workplace, it's one of the locations where you tend to see it not happen very much. And some of you may be, I won't say victims, I don't want to put that mentality out there, but it's oftentimes true. Do you know that 70% of employees, 70% say that they receive no praise or recognition at work? No one to come along and say, thank you. You did a great job. So if you're an employer, hey, on the other hand, maybe you want to do something simple for people around you. Gary Chapman wrote to the five languages of appreciation at work. It's easy stuff to do. It doesn't take a lot. It's really a heart issue for us. And then, of course, let's not forget, at the very basis of all this, we should be thankful to God. You know, does God really need this? Oh, come please. Of course he doesn't. God doesn't need this. But the scriptures tell us that he embodies our praises. Something about it that refreshes the very nature of God when his people, his creation, made in his image, respond to him with a spirit of gratitude. And again, we learn this from the Psalms as well. Psalm 118 is one of those examples. Spiritual admonition for this particular first Sunday in Advent. It's very simple, my friends. Do not allow the attitude of gratitude to become a platitude. Bow with me for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we ought to be reminded by people like David, who is a soul that apparently connected with you so deeply. He has given us a message. He's given us several to encourage our hearts, to take time, to express thankfulness, to be grateful for so many things. If we have healthy children, what an extra blessing. If we have children who need extra love, may you give that to us. But be thankful for those kids as well. If we have a job, may we be thankful today. Even if it's not perfect, may our hearts be trained to say thank you. In the midst of pain or difficult circumstances, may we say thank you, Father, for at least coming to me and being a comforter as you have promised. In all things, may our hearts expand enough so that we are a grateful people and that we might enjoy the fruits of that gratefulness in a satisfied life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.